Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a brand new show. It's called Money Moves. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
So I saw all these guys talking and everything. Everybody, this is, the future is bright. Everybody's excited. Here's the one thing I will say both about John Harbaugh and Aaron Glenn with his new offense and his new defense. I mean, you don't really know what you have until you get out there in a game and you feel the anxiety of the game. And then you see how a player plays. So I'm sure that Frank Reich has analyzed Geno Smith's every throw over the last 5 years. I guarantee you. He probably knows very well what he does. He knows very in detail what he does well, and he will try to play to that. Geno will actually, you know, this is going to be a step up when it comes to offenses compared to where he was last year with the Raiders. This is going to be a game plan where when you look at the Jets on offense and you look at the players that they have right now, now there are some young players that they're counting on. I think their offensive team is pretty good. It's not devoid of talent at all. This team is, it's got wide receivers. They drafted a young kid. They have tight ends. The tight end group is good. They got a solid offensive line. They have terrific running backs. Really the question, and you pointed it out, it does come down to the quarterback. No question, it always does in the NFL. But I know one thing, the quarterback will definitely have a plan in front of him that's going to make sense.
Yeah, and if he goes down or he is bad, that's where this season goes to hell, because unless Klubnik comes in as some sort of superstar and some sort of prodigy that we didn't expect. I mean, Bailey Zappi's not going to save this team. Brady Cook's not going to save this team. So they're going to really need Geno to be healthy and to play very, very well for Aaron Glenn to have another chance, because it's not just us here, and I know it's unfair, and I know that it's the Jets, but anybody who covers the NFL, if they're putting together a list, actually CBSSports.com did it a month ago. They're putting together a list of coaches that are on the hot seat. Unfortunately for Aaron Glenn, he's number one on that list. So, you know, what is the thing that Woody Johnson needs to see from this team that makes him say we're going in the right direction with Aaron Glenn? Is that a number of wins? Is it how it looks? So that question, I don't know. I don't know what Woody Johnson is going to be looking for.
It's always going to come down to how it looks and the decisions that he makes in the game. You know, that's at the end of the game. We saw some things happen last year that, you know, you don't have to be a football expert to understand how many different things that were mishandled.
Yeah.
But again, I go back to the, you know, the rookie offensive coordinator, Justin Fields. I mean, it just wasn't. It wasn't a positive thing. It was not going to be positive. This year, different. You have an experienced quarterback. You have an experienced play caller. You have good young players around that play caller that will get the ball to each and every one of them. If you look at Frank's history as an offensive play caller and you look at where he was, whether it be San Diego, whether it be Indianapolis, whether it be Philadelphia, I mean, everybody got involved. And one thing I heard yesterday and saw somebody send it to me on social media was Breece Hall talking about Frank and talking about playing for Frank. And yeah. I guess Breece Hall reached out to Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Taylor had nothing but great things to say about Frank to Breece Hall. So this is what I've been preaching over the last, you know, 4 months, 5 months, that, you know, we will not see, you know, the fruits of all of this until probably a month into the season. There's going to be some growing pains. There'll be growing pains on offense for the Giants, too. There always is, especially with new coaches, new players. Even though Jackson Dart, we all believe he's a superstar in the making, you know, he'll have some moments where you got to wonder, like, what is he thinking? It's just because he's never seen this offense. His play callers never called plays for him. And, you know, there's going to be some growing pains. Just get ready for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Jets, and I don't want to sound too obvious here, but the Jets are going to have a season where they feel better about themselves. They can't slip up against the bad teams on their schedule, and there are bad teams. You mentioned yesterday the two teams that should be at the top of the draft and should be looking at Arch Manning on paper right now are the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins. The Jets have three games with those teams this year. Obviously, two against the Dolphins within the division. They play the Arizona Cardinals. Also, the Tennessee Titans, week one. I mean, these are the games that they can't be slipping up. When these other teams are saying, well, we got the Jets. Well, the Jets need to win those games, because there's other ones that are just very, I mean, back, like, you're playing the NFC North three straight games. after Tennessee. And you're hosting Green Bay, but then going to Detroit, going to Chicago. It's just, it's tough, man. Going to Kansas City, there's a couple out there that are just, they're going to have to really, they got some bad teams on that schedule that they need to beat.
I would say, like, you look at Arizona, Minnesota. I'm not saying Minnesota's a bad team, but it's a team that they should be able to play against.
Yeah.
Miami, of course. You also have Cleveland in there. Can they win one of those three games, you know, from the NFC North right there in a row, like week two, week three, and week four? That's going to be a tall task, because every single one of those teams has a top quarterback, has a top coach, and, you know, it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be easy for Aaron Glenn to stop those offenses.
Yeah, and that's where we go back to the how does it look? You know, do the Jets hang in there for four quarters at Detroit, and it's a game-winning field goal as time expires that has the Lions win, or is it 34-10 and the game was over in the second quarter?
But is it a game-winning field goal because the offense was on the field and they decide to go for it on fourth and three, and they didn't make it?
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, the Lions run two plays, and they kick a field goal and win. So that's decision-making. That's the kind of thing that gets coaches fired. You know, that's the kind of thing that annoys owners. So, you know, that's what, when you hear people talking about what does it look like, I think that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. It's in-game decision-making. Look, and Frank will help a ton on offense, a ton. I mean, if I know anything about Frank, it's all about communication. It's all about being prepared. It's all about, you know, having someone's back. And believe you me, he's got Aaron's back, and he will help him any which way he possibly can. And I think that this the hiring of him, as much as I was hoping he wouldn't do it, the more that I read, the more that I see, the happier I am that he's here to help his buddy.
Yeah, the Jets need to do what the Knicks did, making it a team that was undesirable for just about everybody to want to play for, to being the place that you wanted to go. And it takes a long time, but if they could start trending in that direction and get the stink off of them, because every single day, and it's not hard for him to find, Jerry's got a cut of someone making fun of the Jets.
Yeah, but do you have you got to believe that Darren Mooji is...
He's in the process of doing it.
I think he's a terrific general manager thus far. I think he's done everything, maybe with the exception of the Justin Fields and the coordinator last year. You know, I think those are the two things that really held them back, and I'm not so sure that they could have overcome anything anyway with somebody else calling the plays, but the fact of the matter is that's probably the biggest miss. You know, I think the drafts have been pretty good for him. Yeah. I know that they're really excited about Kenyon Sadiq. They think that he could really be an offensive weapon. I they love the kid Cooper, too. I mean, like, so they have some young, exciting, explosive players. The question is, when will they figure it out? And, you know, how many mistakes will they make before they figure it out? And hopefully it doesn't cause somebody an injury.
Yes, right, which is always the X factor. But, yeah, I think that this is... it's Darren Mooji behind the scenes, everybody seems to, without, you know, throughout the league and the people who cover the league think that he is really sharp, young, has it together. So if that starts happening and some of these draft picks really start to pan out and the roster looks like it's turning the corner, even if they do decide to make a coaching change for whatever reason, it'll be a more desirable place to be than it has been. I mean, that's what you... Because I don't know how many times we sat here and said, well, that guy's not going to go coach the Jets. That guy's not going to consider the Jets.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
You may have heard throughout the day today that a former New York Jet and Giant and Steeler, Plaxico Burress, was asked on a very popular podcast called The Joint Venture Show, hosted...
By whom?
By Lil Wayne and... Oh, that's right, me.
You.
That's right, my new podcast, Lil Wayne. And we had Plaxico on last week, and the clip's apparently now going viral. Mm-hmm. When Lil Wayne said to Plaxico, and you guys have it in the system, find it for me, people, play it for people. Lil Wayne said to Plaxico last week, what was worse, going to prison, which he did for 20 months, mm-hmm. or playing for the New York Jets. So I'm going to play it for you. And then as Jet fans, we can react to, while the Giant fan thinks they're going from four wins to the playoffs this year, the Jet fans were reminded again, but this time from a Super Bowl winning, one of the great wide receivers of his era, who played for multiple teams in his career, telling you how he compared playing for the Jets to being in prison. Allow that to sink in for a second. Mm-hmm. Here's my man, Plax.
Both kind of similar because when I walked in the prison on my first day, I was like, damn, man, you are a loser. And I had the same damn feeling every day I walked through the door with the Jets. I'm like, damn, I hope we can win this weekend. Losing.
There you go. That's my main man, Plax, Joint Venture Show podcast. That's obviously going viral right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of Jet fans are very upset about it. I'm being called out as a bad Jet fan for allowing that to happen. Plax is being called out because the two previous years, obviously the Jets went to the AFC Championship game. Mm-hmm. Then you add a talent like Plax. The thought, of course, is going to be, what are we going to do here? We're a better team now with a better option for Mark Sanchez. Obviously, you know how the rest of that season went,
yeah.
And the preseason went as well. But it's interesting, whereas the Giants fan thinks they're going from four wins to the postseason, mm-hmm. the Jet fan is saying after three wins last year, is it really worse than prison or not? that just shows, kind of shows you like yeah. where the two fan bases yeah. are at right now.
And I think
is playing for the Jets akin to being locked up?
I wouldn't think so. But
well, I'm a Jet fan. I've been locked up.
I never played for them. Do you feel
sometimes
locked up as a Jets fan? Do you feel like locked into this loser mentality? Like he's talking
no,
about?
Because I bought in like everyone did that Aaron Rodgers was going to change it. I bought into the fact that Joe Douglas was going to change that. Right. Mm-hmm. I bought into the fact that Robert Saleh was going to change that. If anything, Jet fans are suckers.
Yeah.
Like 1-800-SUCKER. That's us. Because all you have to do, Big Mac, is give the Jet fan, as cockamamie as it might be, a small little teeny opening. Mm-hmm. And we buy into the fact, oh, wow, Zach Wilson is going to be the next great quarterback, right?
Yep.
We just need a teeny little weeny weeny opening to buy into the fact that this is going to be our year.
Yeah.
Much different than Giant fans. I know we're the same. We live next door to each other and all yeah. that. But Giant fans have a legitimate belief right now
yeah.
that you guys are a playoff team or close to a playoff team.
Right.
The Jet fan right now is like, the Super Bowl winning coach is not on the coaching staff right now. Our franchise quarterback's in college right now.
That's the thing.
And by the way, we're right.
Yeah.
And then you just give us a teeny little inkling.
There's a couple
like, this might work out. Oh, 11 wins. How do we not win 11 wins? Right?
Well, right now, is that you don't have a teeny weeny opening?
I'm looking for it.
Yeah, it's tough to
find. I got the running back. I got the wide receivers.
You have some offensive weapons.
I've got a good offensive line.
Who stayed healthy last
year? That's right. They played every single game.
Every single game.
I've got a decent defense.
You've got a quarterback who's thrown for 4,000 yards more recent than
anybody.
Don't do that. I'm just telling you. Offensively,
yeah.
the Jets should be able to put up some points. Here's the issue and why there's a difference between how the Giants feel and how the Jets feel. One, I think what Plaxico says speaks to the Jets, because of the playoff drought and because of, like, you just look at it. Larry David makes fun of them. They are literally the face of losing.
Yeah,
if you were
going to
make an analogy, prison, I felt like a loser, just like a Jets fan. Like, that's literally
a fair comparison.
They are the analogy for losing.
Yeah.
They need to get out of that funk. But overall, besides that, last year you look at it defensively and how they ended the season. Right, they ended the season having one of the biggest displays of ineptitude defensively that we've ever seen. They don't have an interception the entire season,
which is crazy.
They get blown out to the level and lose by a point differential that we've never seen
yeah.
in the last 4 or 5 years, yeah. 5 weeks of the season. So the season ended getting blown out. You didn't get a single interception the entire season. It was just awful. You don't have the franchise quarterback, and you don't have the head coach. Those are two things that I think that's what the NFL is built on. Head coach, quarterback. The Giants, right now at least, we'll see. But right now the fan base believes we have a franchise quarterback, and we know we have a head coach who can win.
Well,
that's the reason for the optimism.
We got lots cooking today. Obviously, we'll get all your phone calls. A little bit later on the show, we will not discuss, but we'll have fun at their expense, the fact that WNBA players just can't play basketball. And I have to take back all the nice things I said about their abilities. They're embarrassingly bad.
It's not a great highlight film.
Try to figure out why ESPN, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco 49ers and the police in San Francisco are protecting Kyle Shanahan for a car accident that happened yesterday. And we've got some Knick basketball coming your way. We've got some LeBron coming your way. Okay. So typical. LeBron James not living in Philadelphia while playing for the Sixers. You know where he's going to be living? Here.
Here.
That's right. And, so desperate to be a part of the New York landscape. He's living here, but he ain't playing here. You know why? Because we said no thank you. We'll get into that later on. We got a great show for you today. 888-808-1019. Let's get into some football. One quick baseball note. Today's Met game canceled.
Yes.
Due to the pending weather that's coming in. And that'll be is that a split admission doubleheader tomorrow?
Let me just double check.
Please tell me the Mets are not doing that. Just please tell me, just letting everybody come. Whoever shows up gets to go watch the Mets play. I think it might be a split. I know it's a doubleheader, but is it a split admission doubleheader?
It will be made up tomorrow as a split doubleheader.
Ay, ay, ay.
1-10 and 7-10.
I know. I guess they have to. Or maybe there's a giveaway they have to honor. But that's it. Yeah, by the way, if you really want to punish Met fans, what do you make them do?
Go to the games.
Go to both games in the same day. Like, what's worse than going to one Met game? Having to go to two.
Hey, they exploded for 14 runs yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Thornton pitched well, beat up on the Braves.
Don't do that.
Come Lindor on. With a couple home runs.
That's great. That's awesome. So glad Lindor decided to hit a couple home runs.
Just
I guess he's trying to show off for whatever team wants him. All of a sudden,
we're going to talk about Anthony Volpe's drop pop up.
We're going to get to it.
We're going to get to it.
100%.
Trade deadline.
Yeah, but after yesterday's show, I felt like I should start with football.
Yeah. Starting football sign.
Yeah. We're going to get to Volpe. I promise you.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay.
A lot of Yankee talk coming up. Lots. You know the phone number. Here's Phil in River Edge on the fan. Phil, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's up, Phil? Thank you.
Good, good. So I need to be talked off the ledge here with this David Bailey pick.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the only one that feels this way, where we quote-unquote drafted the best pass rusher in college football. They got to have 14.5 sacks against second and third tier teams. That's where all his production came.
Timeout. So training camp essentially starts, I guess tomorrow's the first all-in practice, right?
Yeah.
And of all the things that you have as a Jet fan to bitch about, mm-hmm. of all the things that might put you on that ledge that you need saving from, you decide today, damn near the last day of July, that David Bailey's the guy you're going after? Come on, you're better than that.
Yes. The reason why, you know, want to know why?
No.
He's 22 years old. He's iffy against the run.
No.
He was the second overall pick.
But of all the things you can think about the Jets to attack them and complain about, David Bailey ain't one of them.
He hasn't even played a snap yet.
Yeah.
Like, let's see what he is. Could he be a bust?
They could all be busts.
Of course. Do you have a point there? I guess. I don't know.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, there's no point there. You have a thing against David Bailey. Yeah. What, did he bang your girlfriend or something? or was it your mom? Like, who in your life did he have sex with that you're pissed off that you called in the fan? Yeah. Out of all the things to complain about, you're complaining about a rookie that hasn't had a chance to line up yet and hear the word hut, hut, hike and go get the opposing quarterback? There's no, it's one word, it's hyphenated. hut, hyphen, hike. That's not three words. Hut, hike, that's one word.
I apologize.
You're okay? Right. I heard you in the corner. Like, what are we doing? Like, let the kid fail before you attack him?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe we took David Bailey. I thought he was the best pass-rushing defensive guy in the league, in the draft, everyone said.
Almost everyone associated him with being the best.
If your mom wants to sleep with David Bailey, let her be happy. Why can't your moms be happy?
This was more of a conversation right after the draft. He's the player.
Oh, I saw. Your sister did it? His sister got caught sleep. I don't know who it was. Someone did.
Yeah.
Someone in that kid's life.
You think?
Yeah. God,
it's possible.
Used up. I don't know. For all I know, David Bailey's a virgin. What do I know?
I know he was
probably not.
I know he was considered the best edge rusher in the draft.
Let me tell you something. If I was the best edge rusher in the draft, and I went to two different schools,
yeah,
and I had a chance to win a national championship last year, right? I'd be banging everything. Yeah, like you got a pulse. Let me check. Now you're pregnant. Boom. Just like that.
I want to do that.
Oh yeah.
You want to get everybody pregnant?
Isn't that the? Isn't that why we're here? It's not just for fun. It's to keep that carton seat alive.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I need more cartons out there.
There's plenty.
If you're telling me if you were the best edge rusher in all football, you wouldn't be laying it down, smacking them and yakking them.
But I'd be wearing protection.
Yeah, everyone says that when they're 40.
ain't Doug Flutie!
Yeah, when you're 18, were you thinking about it? Or were you just happy to be there?
When I was 18, I wasn't the best pass rusher in college football.
What about high school? Are you a nose guard or tackle or something?
Yeah, I was a tackle.
Yeah, there
but
you go.
I was arguably the best player.
People tell me if they go out to Comac, your name's all over bathroom stalls.
Yeah, Franklin Square.
Wherever, same thing. Mm-hmm. Long Island. Did I get a town in Long Island?
You did.
Wright County?
I'm not sure. I think Comac is Suffolk, so no.
Oh, I always get confused by the Long Island counties.
I'm a Nassau County boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the Hamptons?
Oh, that's way out there.
Is that no? Suffolk. What county is it?
Suffolk?
That's Suffolk.
Yes, the further
east
you go.
Is more Suffolky.
Correct.
I could never quite figure that out.
It's not that hard.
For me it is.
Closer to the city is Nassau.
If I could just very quickly geographically.
Sure, please.
It feels when you're driving like Long Island is north, not east. Does it not feel that way? I always feel like I'm going north. When I go to Long Island, as opposed to east.
Whatever direction I'm going.
Is it north is a feel for
you,
yeah?
Don't you just feel like I'm going straight? This must be north?
No, not when I go to the Jersey, down the Jersey Shore. I feel like I'm going south.
Do you really? Why?
But I don't feel east and west.
Okay.
And yet Long Island, which I know is east, I get it. I've seen the map.
Right.
It feels north to me. And let me tell you something else while I'm
Please
at it.
Please do.
Whoever created the roadways and aqueducts and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Nobody thought that we should connect Long Island to Connecticut. Nobody thought a couple extra bridges or a tunnel, right?
Yeah.
So as opposed to just going right from pick your favorite spot in Long Island, right across that bay, right? Or the Sound.
That's Connecticut. That would be a big bridge, wouldn't it? I don't know geography that well, but that sounds like
there's
got to
be
big
spots where we could have did that. No. I got to come all the way back to the city.
Isn't there a ferry or something you could take?
A ferry.
Yeah.
What are we going to do in my car? Just leave it?
No, put it on the ferry.
No, I don't think they have them kind of ferries.
No?
That's a Europe thing. Yeah.
No, it's not.
You can't put your car in the Staten Island ferry.
You could put it on ferries. There's definitely boats you put your car on.
Yes. Not here, but sure. Yes.
Like if you go to Greece or something,
I bet you they have ferries you can put your car on.
There's ferries in America you drive on. Stop it.
I don't think so.
There's definitely.
I checked. Matter of fact, me and Big Hurls were talking about it earlier today.
Were you?
Well, he's a ferry expert.
Mm-hmm.
He loves...
the ferries.
I mistook that.
Mm-hmm.
Not ferries. Furries.
Furries.
Totally different conversation we're having today. Sorry about that. 888-808-1019. That's the phone number to join. We'll get all your football comments in here as the training camps are now open.
Yes.
Matter of fact, we're going to be at Jets camp.
We are.
Sometime in August. I forget the date.
11th.
Is that it? August 11th. We'll
Tuesday,
be at Jets camp?
August 11th.
Great. Looking forward to hearing you out there live.
2 weeks from today.
Great. We'll be out there at Jets camp. So I'm looking forward to that. We got some baseball coming your way in a minute as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a baseball breaking story that's going to make every Yankee fan very unhappy. We'll get your take on that coming up in a little bit as well. It is the Carton Show with Big Mac.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Glenn is meeting the media for the first time in training camp, and there are two things that jumped out at me. He just met the media, so this is very timely. The first one is he has announced, unlike the New York Giants, who have slogans, they have that WIN slogan, W-I-N. What does that stand for again, Sean?
I've already forgotten.
Work. Work in nicely.
Work important. I forget.
That's how you know the slogan doesn't work.
It was so irrelevant to my fandom.
Yeah. I'm not saying it means anything. I'm just telling you that it didn't work as a slogan.
Yeah, because it didn't stick with you.
Didn't stick with you.
Right.
Aaron Glenn has made this announcement about slogans for the Jets in 2026.
No slogans, no hype speeches. Want to set the tone with the players yesterday. And, man, we're ready to improve. And that's what we're trying to do.
I like it. No slogans, no superpowers, no promised lands,
yeah.
Nothing like that. But this was really interesting. And I know that what's going to jump out at people is a term that he used, but it's more than the term. Aaron Glenn was asked, what did he learn from his first year? And I think one of the things that certainly jumped out at a lot of people, didn't bother me as much, but I want to be fair, was his handling of the media. Listen to what Aaron Glenn said about that.
Some of those blind spots, just you know, a couple of maybe general things. Because obviously you came in here, obviously speaking of Bill, you got a lot of, you know, you coached under Campbell and all that stuff. So you got a lot of ideas coming in.
Yeah, and listen, I'm not trying to be a butthole, you know, when I give you the answer, but a lot of that, man, I really want to keep myself. I don't think it's fair to myself or the team to be able to articulate all those things to everybody and give everybody all the answers to which I think is the test, you know, for me to improve.
It's almost like he's referring to the game he played with the quarterbacks. Remember when he wouldn't tell us who was starting, who was practicing, and it became kind of hokey? I laughed at it. It didn't bother me, but I think the takeaway from that whole thing is that he said...
A butthole.
Yeah, that was...
A butthole.
Just use the ass part of it. It's all good.
I think that shows you he's really trying to clean up his act.
No, don't.
A butthole.
Don't.
You don't like butthole?
No.
It sounds weird, doesn't it?
Just say it like it is.
A butthole.
Make them not be able to use it by cussing. You're a football player, football coach, talking about football teams.
Well, I'll tell you
it's
something.
It's okay to cuss.
I've learned this. We're now, I say, 20 minutes into the Jets season because we talked a lot of Giants yesterday. I think Joe was right. Tiki hates the Jets. Think about what you've already done today. Geno Smith sucks. Start Kate Klubnik. And the second thing is you're criticizing my head coach for saying...
Okay, a butthole.
If he's going
He's trying to clean it up. He's churching it up.
Okay, what's more likely?
What?
Geno Smith makes another Pro Bowl or Geno Smith is bad?
Geno Smith is bad.
Okay. If that's more likely outcome, why would you not even entertain... seeing what you have in Kate Klubnik?
Because it's the answer to Sean's
because
question.
Because he's not like Dubuque University project.
Right.
He played at Clemson.
I understand.
And was a good quarterback a couple of years.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a horrible season last year.
What do you say about rookies again? Take
they all
that.
Suck.
Oh, okay.
But
now you want to start one right away as a fourth round pick.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I wanted to start Jackson Dart last year as a first round pick.
Jackson Dart's different than Kate Klubnik.
Is he?
He's better. I mean, at least my eyes tell me he's better for now, unless Cade Klubnik starts lighting up training camp.
I knew more about Cade Klubnik as a college player than I knew about Jackson Dart.
You think Cade Klubnik's going to be a starter in this league?
And I guarantee you, most people would tell you the same thing.
What? That he's better?
No. That they knew and heard more about Cade Klubnik than they knew and heard about Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I get you.
Jackson Dart was never hyped to be a top
never.
Five pick.
Yeah, but he was a first-round pick.
Yeah, he should be
traded up for.
Because someone fell in love with him.
Right.
Someone... listened to Lane Kiffin and said, oh, this kid he's got what it takes. He's got the swagger. He's got the moxie. He's got the skill set. Like all those things. He's a leader. All those things that you look for, you fall in love with him, you become first round pick.
How many good drives in training camp before I get all excited about Cade Klubnik? Maybe one and a half.
Well, your workout warrior is tipping interceptions for him. Yeah.
Do you want a good quote? Maybe I'll fire you up, Evan.
Yeah, give me a good one. I want to get excited.
No audio, but this from the locker room of the Jets. A smiling Garrett Wilson 3 minutes ago. I have a feeling it's going to be a special year.
I like to hear that.
And what was he referring to?
His stats.
Well, he was asked why he feels that way, and he said, it just feels different this year, man. Oh.
Same old Jets.
Oh. It is. Details.
It does feel different in terms of they're so under the radar, and there are so little expectations.
Yeah.
That's the difference. And Breece Hall spoke yesterday about why that's a good thing, like being under the radar. And everyone loves being under the radar, but it's only good if then you turn it into something. So that's the part that feels different, at least me as a Jet fan. They have been such a non-story this offseason. Like every time I've even brought them up, Tiki gives me a look and says, let's break down the Met bullpen. Why are we bothering with the Jets?
Let's hear the tone of Garrett Wilson, thanks to our great digital department.
Oh, that's the reality of it. It is my fifth year, and I can't believe it. But like I just said, man.
Me neither.
I have a feeling it's going to be a special year. It's the fifth year. Oh. I'm excited to get another opportunity to do what I've always dreamed of and just play some meaningful football and into the winter. And we got a special opportunity this year, man. I'm excited for my fifth year. It's crazy.
You know what he did that was great? He answered the question. Because as he was talking about it, my question to you is going to be, what's a special year? What qualifies? He just told you. And I agree with him. Meaningful football into the winter.
Yep.
That's what he's telling you. We're going to be in it. We're not winning a Super Bowl.
And by the way, he's not talking about himself. He's talking about the team.
He's talking about the team.
Why are you laughing?
So I like that. I like that kind of optimism because as a fan, I want that optimism. It doesn't mean I agree with it. I think they're a 4 or 5 win team, but I love to be wrong. I'm a big fan of being wrong, especially when it's the opposite of, you know, being wrong when you think a team is going to be good, you know? Let's get to some of your phone calls. 888-808-1019 is the number. Adam is in South Jersey. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, Adam.
Oh, I got the leadoff spot. Good morning, fellas. How are you today? Tiki, you know, you've been talking to me on and off for a long time, and I told you I was a football coach, did some pro stuff, arena, this and that, right? So I'm going to try to give you guys a coach's perspective of what I see on the Jets. And what I see is this. They can't discount anyone. And Frank Reich, being experienced, if he comes in and he sees Kate Klubnik is more bought in and better for the team, I don't care if he's a 7th-round draft pick.
Right.
It shouldn't matter because the Jets have sucked for a long time now. It doesn't matter where you get the talent. What matters is that the talent's there and you have to be able to recognize. The Jets have to stop staying by the standard of, oh, well, 1st-round pick should play, 4th-round pick, maybe not. No, none of that matters. And, you know, if I'm the Jets, if I'm Frank Reich, if I'm Aaron Glenn, this offseason stuff that happened with Geno, it's a turnoff to me.
Yeah.
I'm already willing to look at Klubnik just because I don't know how bought in Geno is.
Ooh,
I don't know how real he is to be great.
Would that be a turnoff, Tiki, the offseason stuff?
Maybe. I mean, honest, like when you're the quarterback, and this is a conversation that I'm sure somebody within the Giants, maybe even John Harbaugh, has had with Jackson Dart, is that it doesn't matter what you want to do, how you want to position yourself in social media and pop culture worldwide or whatever the heck you're, how you want to define that, every decision you make, good or bad, is going to be a reflection on the team that you're the quarterback. This isn't for running backs or tackles or DTs or wide receivers. For quarterbacks specifically, when you make a decision, it's a reflection on your employer, right? And so when Geno Smith is getting pulled over for whatever speeding and he's got this domestic thing, which turns out to not really be a big deal, but it becomes a distraction. As soon as Geno Smith's name is mentioned, the Jets are also mentioned.
Right.
And so it is a turnoff, but it's not something that's going to determine whether or not he's a good player or not. It's a weird turnoff. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you focused on
now? It shouldn't be that difficult to not have your name in the news.
That's exactly right.
Shouldn't be that big of a challenge.
Unless it's something, unless you're donating $100,000 to whatever.
Yeah, but that doesn't get written about.
I know,
it's the other stuff.
But maybe it'll be in the news.
Yeah. I think what concerns me about our first caller and you continuously bringing up Kate Klubnik.
And by the way, the Jets don't owe Geno anything.
No, of course they don't. I agree.
They didn't draft him.
Yep.
I mean, they did, but you know what I mean.
Well, this time around.
Right.
This time around, they didn't draft him.
Right.
My concern about the continuous nature of bringing up Klubnik is nothing against him. Like, I'll be the first to admit, I haven't seen him play other than YouTube clips. Like, we'll find out in training camp. We'll find out in preseason games.
Right.
It feels like you so know that bringing this veteran in was such a wrong decision that we're already fantasizing about a 4th-round.
It's not even that.
I'm
just turned off by Geno.
No, and I respect that.
It has nothing to do with football. Nothing.
Well, but it doesn't, but it does. It because does you because talked about his football.
Because he had a bad season last year, and he threw 15 interceptions the year before that.
My problem is if they made a better decision in terms of the veteran quarterback that they brought in,
if they had brought,
we wouldn't be talking about Kate Klubnik on July 29th.
100%.
Thank you.
If they had brought in Kirk Cousins, like I suggested.
Correct.
And we know what Kirk Cousins cares about.
Correct.
Being a damn good football player, even if he's not good.
Yes.
That's all he cares about.
If they signed Kirk Cousins, and I didn't want him, but let's say they did, we'd be talking about Kate Klubnik more in light of, hey, if they're out of it, we'll go to him week 12.
Right.
You would not be saying on the radio on July 29th, you know, if he outplays him, he'll start right away. You know why you wouldn't say it? Because he wouldn't outplay Kirk Cousins.
But you know what also happened, Evan?
What?
Geno Smith earned this. He earned my opinion.
I get you.
I didn't just say, oh, I dislike Geno Smith. In fact, I actually liked him. Last time I called a game with him, I told him how much I appreciated his growth and success and the opportunity to make a Pro Bowl and lead a team to a winning season. He's earned this from me. And who else should he blame? Is it my fault that he got all this trouble?
No, your fault.
Is it your fault?
No.
Is it every Jet fan fault? Right?
We get blamed for a lot.
Is it the Bentley dealer's fault? Like, whose fault is it?
You're right.
It's his.
Yeah. Geno does have one of the great lines in sports history. The line that he had with Seattle of, they wrote me off and I didn't write back. Mm-hmm. It truly is one of the great lines.
Oh, of course it is.
And I don't know if he came up with it himself or someone gave it to him, but either way, I give him all the credit. Rick is calling from Queens. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. Hey, Tiki. You know I'm a Tiki guy, so yep. I don't even have to go into that. Okay. But here's the thing. I think Coach needs to pull every single member of the team together and ask them right to their face, where do they stand? I think as well as with the QB, I think he needs to pull Geno aside because, listen, the both of them are together in this. Because if this season goes down the toilet, I think Coach knows that things could be pretty bad for him as
yep.
well.
Right.
Okay, so with that in mind, I think he needs to pull him together and then deal with it. And also, I also feel that if you look at Geno when he has the time, especially with the line that he's going to have, he's got a great running back, okay, and a tight end and receiver to throw it to, I think they're going to be good. And if Coach can do his business with this defense, I'm telling you, this team has been down too long. It's time for them to get up. Where do they stand? That's yeah. it. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, Rick. No, I mean, they have a – I'm more optimistic, as Evan has been saying all day today. I'm more optimistic about the offense than the defense. And it's really not a knock on any of those guys. And they're all veteran. A lot of them are veteran. It's just they've never played together. I have no idea what that's going to look like. And I think it's hard sometimes when you're in a new scheme. Head coach is now also your defensive coordinator, de facto-wise. He's calling defenses. And he's got all this responsibility he's got to worry about. And you've never done anything these things together.
Well, think about this, and I'm going to try to remember this off the top of my head. Think about all of the draft capital used to build this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Two left tackles were both first-round picks.
Right.
Joe Tippmann was a second-round pick.
Right.
Garrett Wilson, first-round pick.
Breece Hall was a second-round pick.
Right. Like,
there's a lot of...
Omar Cooper they traded up for.
Yeah.
First-round pick. The New York Garrett Wilson, I think I've already said him, first-round pick. Sadiq, how could I forget him this year? They have used...
Nathan Taylor, second-round pick.
Dude, they have used... I don't want to use the word absurd because it feels like it's negative.
Rutgers was a third-round pick, and he's not even going to play.
You're right. They have used an incredible amount of premium draft picks to build an offense.
Yes.
Look at what we just said. That's all in the last 4 or 5 years. First-round pick after first-round pick after first-round pick after second-round pick after second-round pick. So they better have a good offense.
Mm-hmm.
When you use as much capital, you've got two wide receivers that you used first-round picks on.
Right.
You've got a tight end that you used the first-round pick on, a tight end you used the second-round pick on, and a tight end you used the third-round pick on, two tackles you used first-round picks on, a guard you used the second-round pick on. Like,
right.
Dude!
Running back, second-round pick. And even though it was via trade, A.D. Mitchell, he was a second-round pick. Like, there's lots of talent.
That's why they better be good.
Yeah.
Like, let's use the word better. And that's why I said at the top of the show, it's depressing to think about the Jet offensive rankings for the last decade, because it's not just bad, it's towards the bottom. So my question to you on July 29th
is... Who has more pressure, Frank Reich?
No, everyone has. Where are they going to rank? With all that capital, all that talent on this roster, is this a top 10 offense in the NFL, a top 15 offense,
not
a top 20 offense?
Not top 10. There's too many good offenses.
So what are they?
I think they're top half.
By the way, I'd sign for that in blood.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little violent. I'd sign for that in permanent ink. Because, again, the Jets haven't had a top-of-the-league offense rank-wise since 2015. Like, think about that.
That's top half or top 10?
Just top half.
Wow.
No. Top 10 is 2008.
Jeez.
If you want top 10, we're going Brett Favre 2008. If you want top half of the league, there are 32 teams in the league. It just means top 16 offense in the National Football League. The Jets haven't had it since Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall and Todd Bowles in 2015.
That's a lot of boring football.
Yeah, no, I know that. And that's why, like, it better be good.
Right.
Because, again, think about all the capital in draft picks, not just from this administration, obviously, but from the prior administrations to build this roster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no excuse. So when people ask it, why do you expect the offense to be good? Well, why?
It better be.
How many effing first and second round picks can one use before it becomes a functioning offense?
A butthole.
Thank you, Aaron.
You're gonna play that into the dirt, aren't you?
Just for today. I think it's a one-day thing. You think it sticks forever?
A butthole.
I mean, who doesn't love hearing that word?
Why are you laughing?
Why are you laughing works with everything, doesn't it? Darren Muji just met the media in the last 15 minutes. What have we learned from what Darren Muji had to say today? Anything?
One thing that seems to be circulating around the old interwebs is he was talking about the use of AI with the Jets, which I think is being half mocked now as an answer. So I haven't heard this. We'll see what our interpretation is of this. And of course, I don't have the pot down as I hit play, so give me one sec. Here we go.
On the AI front, I think to this point, what it's helped with the most is the automation of things, right? We're saving a lot of man hours being able to automate information and systems and spit it out quickly. So it's been huge, and I look forward to the continued growth as the organization with the AI and the analytics.
Have you used much of the AI yourself? Have you been?
Yeah, absolutely. Like we've integrated into our systems again for a lot of data breakdowns. We can just do things a lot quicker, and it's allowed for more efficiency, the automation. And I toy around with, you know, the chat GPTs and the different things. We have in-house ones that we can do for different questions, but really it's all the integrate information, the in-house information and the data points. That's been cool.
You cannot use chat GPT or automation to make decisions on football. You just can't.
Well, he didn't say that. They have their own AIs. He's saying he, of course, plays around with ChatGPT. Who doesn't? But I don't think he was implying that a 3rd-and-5 call is going to be made by ChatGPT. Though you could
ask
it.
What's he saying then?
I think he's saying that they have their own special AIs that help get information quicker.
It does what?
Can I give you an example on my part? Please. Or I don't know if it's the same.
Yes. So, AI is wrong, by the way. A lot of this.
AI is wrong a lot.
But confidently wrong.
Yes. AI is wrong a lot. I was going to tell you this. Mm-hmm. But they give you the framework for things. So like earlier in the show, I mentioned Garrett Wilson. And all the different quarterbacks that have completed passes to him.
And it got it wrong.
It got it wrong, but it gives you like the framework to help you get it right.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, but again, you...
I find it very useful. But it's wrong most of the time.
I agree.
Two things are true.
I'd rather do the legwork and get it right, fully right.
So you don't like Muji's answer about the Jets' usage of AI?
I don't see why, how it's like, how it helps you innovate. Because that's how you win in sports, is you innovate or you just outperform.
You know that the Mets, and they weren't the only ones, but they got attention, and we did not have much time to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I think we were away or got buried over the weekend. The Mets were told earlier this season too much with the AI, that they were using AI on pitch call decisions. Yeah.
That makes no sense.
But they weren't the only ones.
You have to leave that to the pitcher catcher.
Yeah, but I think what they were doing is they're saying, okay, and I'm dumbing it down. Here's this batter. You have his tendencies in the machine. Mm-hmm. Based on his tendencies and the strengths of the pitcher on the mound, real quick in your AI machine, advise what we should throw on one and two.
What happens if the pitcher is feeling off? Like he can't quite get the grip on a splitter or whatever. No, whatever.
That's
it may be.
Maybe the AI
is telling you to throw the splitter.
But maybe the AI takes into effect that he's not throwing that splitter well with spin.
How can he know that?
I think as much information as it has. That would be my assumption.
But how do you do that in real time?
I don't think the human brain can do it in real time, hence why they're trying these AIs.
I think the human brain can say, I'm not feeling this. This is what I'm going to do instead.
Well, that's the personal factor. But in terms of batters and their tendencies, that's where the information can be helpful.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I think AI has become a big part of sports. But then there's the fine line, what's cheating or not? Because MLB cracked down and said too much AI.
That's what I mean. In real time, what are you doing? Like every time I don't know if the catcher gets it, the signal from the dugout or not. But like, how do you in real time process it enough to make it meaningful in that at bat?
Yeah, it's tough because I think you bring up one of the factors like, okay, that day, that pitcher doesn't have the feel for that pitch. All the other information you have doesn't necessarily help you. I'm going to be honest with you about that comment from Darren Muji. I think that anyone who goes nuts about it, they're just looking for a way to pick on the
Jets. No, agree. It's not something to go nuts about.
It's not offensive. It's more what you said. I need to learn more. Yeah. How will you? Like, you probably have a million more questions. If you met with Darren Muji and he broke it down for you, I'm not saying you'd be convinced, but you'd at least be like, okay, I see. That was more of like a on-the-surface comment that'll be mocked.
Daryl, Mr. Smiles, Muji.
Right, because if they come out and, I don't know, whoever's playing quarterback looks bad, And that question now gets re-brought up. Did AI have anything to do with that specific play call? And your team is bad performing in those situations, you're going to get criticized.
No doubt.
Here's what would worry me about this. Do we all agree the Jets oftentimes get more things wrong than right as an organization?
Yeah. Have you seen their history? Yes.
Okay. Do we all agree that when we put anything into AI, like Tiki alluded to, a lot of times it's wrong more than right? So why on earth, no matter what they're calling for, would I have faith that the Jets have built an AI that doesn't get things more wrong?
Well, because they didn't build the AI. They probably brought it from people who built the right AI.
Here's the situation that I would worry about. It's fourth and two. It's the fourth quarter. You're down by whatever. You stick all this into whatever system you've built, and it kicks out an answer.
Right.
You should go for it. And now all of a sudden, you're trying to figure out, all right, we're going for it. What play are we calling?
Right.
And then is AI like giving you that answer too?
I mean, it could, technically.
Or is it the gut of the offensive coordinator, which it should be?
Yeah, but a lot of the gut.
Who's been a part of this entire game. The AI can't calculate and compute what's already happened in the game.
I agree with that, but most decisions are being made based on analytics these days. And you're basically making the same decisions just with more help.
Yeah.
Because they're using the spreadsheets anyway.
But you're getting an AI saying, all right, and the tendency is that the Washington Commanders are going to play a 3-4 nickel dog situation. And you're responding to what the AI is telling you their tendency is doing. And then they do something completely different.
Right.
And now you have the wrong play call.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I think you have to leave more. You should spend more time educating the play caller and the quarterback on what to do in any situation, not the specific one that AI is going to kick out.
Do you think we'll be alive the day that a team announces that AI is the new head coach of a team?
Never be a head coach.
Never going to happen?
Maybe be a play caller.
You know what? We'll go with that first. Where a team announces the official play caller for our team this year.
There's too much interpersonal meaning.
Right.
In relationships that AI will never be able to match.
Nah, I get you.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.